Welcome to, g'day Alex, how you doing? Welcome to the week before Christmas. And this is the week where we think about Mary. Imagine the scene in a room, and all of a sudden an angel appears and says, "Peace be with you." Guess what? We're going to be exploring that this morning, the words of "Peace be with you and don't be afraid," as we consider stories of Mary's journey up to the birth of our Saviour Jesus Christ. So, over to you, Adrian. Thank you.
Our theme for the fourth Sunday of Advent is "Love casts out fear." In 7 more days, Christmas will arrive. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, travelling to Bethlehem has been hard. Many setbacks and fears. We remember that love came down at Christmas and stayed. A message conceived in Mary and lived out in the hard sweat and grind of a pregnancy, with not healthcare, no family support, afraid and alone. The couple faced the future with love. Let's pause. We light the first candle to remind us hope in the truth of God. We light the second candle to remind us to make space in our hearts to listen to God. We light the third candle. Joy reminds us Jesus is the light of our journey. And we light the fourth candle to remind us love casts out fear. Sam will now lead us.
I invite you to pray with me the words on the screen.
Lord, we are grateful for our lives,
in that the mess in the world is in 2022. You remain present through the care, laughter and love of others. Remind us not to give in to fear, instead to into the unknown. We do so with your presence to guide and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
The angels proclaimed that Jesus was to be born. So I invite us to stand and sing and proclaim Jesus is Lord. Let's stand and sing.
Celebrate.
Jesus. Center yesterday at 9 o'clock in the morning, there was not one car park. I know I was there. I had to buy presents. This is the season we're in. It's a season of busyness. But the angel said to Mary, "Peace be with you." Let us pray. Father God, first of all, we thank you for this incredible gift of your Son to this world, that you chose out of your incredible, immense love for us to send your Son to live and walk amongst us, to reveal your heart to us. Father, this time of year, I think we know by now that busyness and Christmas should not go together. The world doesn't seem to get that yet. But in amongst all of the busyness, there is celebration and joy and getting together with people from all over the place. And it's in those gatherings, Father God, that your presence is well. Lord, we can't pretend like Christmas is not busy, because it is. But in amongst the busyness, Father, may we pause to reflect and to know that this is the best thing that has ever happened to humanity in all of our years of existence. Thank you, Father, that the angel said to Mary, "Peace be with you." And the angel is saying to us today. So thank you, Father God, that you are with us. Thank you, God, that you go before us, alongside of us. And thank you that you, by your grace, have forgiven us for the things that we have done as well. So we commit the rest of this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's proclaim, God, he reigns.
Some kids talk time. If we've got kids who want to come down the front. Okay. For those who are new to the Vines, this is called Dave's Dodgy Drawings. And part of the challenge is to guess what I'm drawing and help me out as I'm drawing. So today, I might get you to help me draw some stuff in a minute. Yes, that's a good idea. So look, Christmas. We are coming to Christmas. And just give me a sec. So what I'll do is, you can help me do a bit of filling in afterwards, all right? So we're going to talk about the life of Jesus. What is happening here?
baby Jesus is getting born in this stable.
I didn't even get round to drawing the cow. I've been practicing. I was going to do a nice little cow like this. Baby Jesus. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, let's do that. Okay, so what? Okay, so this is going to be a bit tricky. So I'm going to get you to do some thinking. So this is, we're trying to think of the life of Jesus. But you guys probably wouldn't have seen Jesus is growing. What's happening here? Can you remember a month or so ago we had a little baby in our, what did we do with the baby? We rocked it around. What else did we do? Help me out, Sammy. What else did we do? What do we do when we welcome a baby into the family of God? We sing a song, yeah? It's, well, let me help you out. This is, I said there was a reason it's called Dave's Dodgy Drawings. So this is a baby and it's getting baptized. You knew that, didn't you? All right, okay, so, yep, up the top, yep. So baptized. Oh, yeah, actually, your spelling's very good. Baptism, well done. Very impressive. Okay, so we're going to do the next thing. Now, this one's going to be... So we're going through the life of Jesus, if you're wondering, what am I doing? I'm not randomly doing this. This is the life of Jesus. So what else happened that was very special in Jesus' life? Hang on, let's not get too excited. Hang on, just wait. Nah, just talk amongst yourself. What is happening here? What can you tell me is happening here?
The shepherds don't give Jesus food or water.
Now, you're anticipating the Christmas story. Good, but this is something else. What do we do once a month? Once a month. Almost, you're working on it. What do you reckon that is, Sam? What do we do once a month and we have a table out the front? What's that called? And we get some bread and we break it. And we share some grape juice. Yeah, break his body. And we have a grape juice. It's called Holy Communion. All right. Can you put Holy Communion up there? Put, put a C. Big capital C. Yeah, I think we all get that, don't we? All right. Okay. Now, this is when you're going to get where we're going with this. All right. So, this is where it becomes a little bit easier. Okay, what is this? He died on the cross. Yes, okay. Died on the cross. Whew, got to be quick here, Sam. Okay, this is the last one. Oh, and we're doing a bit of interpretation as well. Okay, read this out for me, will you?
He died on the cross and saved our sins.
Okay, well done. Didn't have that in the script, but I'm glad you came. All right, this is the last one. Just waiting. Okay, what is happening here? Any ideas? What happened on Easter?
Jesus rose from the dead.
Yes, he rose from the dead. Okay, so there you go. Woo! Occupational health and safety. No, well, okay, well done. Okay, thank you very much. It's good job, wonderful effort. So this is the life of Jesus we're celebrating. Jesus' birth, his baptism, communion, death, and resurrection. So the whole story of Jesus at Christmas time is about this wonderful stuff. Okay, good job. Thank you, you guys. You've done a wonderful job. I've got some notices to share with you. So yeah, look, I mean, how many days left to Christmas?
4 weeks.
4 weeks. It might... 7 days. It might feel like 4 weeks. It's like, hurry up and come. So I got some notices, people. Sunday and Christmas Day are on the same day this year. Yay! That's really good. Normally we start at 9:30 on a Sunday. Normally on a Christmas Day we start at 9 o'clock. So what to do? I think we're going to start at 9 o'clock on Christmas Day. Are we going to be able to cope with that? Put your hands up if we can cope with that. Yes, 9 o'clock Sunday morning, which is Christmas Day. There'll be some people not looking real happy about that, but look, what can I do? It's in the grapevine, so we're committed. All right, so January services, same time. We're doing Holy Communion on the 1st of January, so that'll be new. Yeah, it's normal services. The service will be shorter.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve is happening, and what time is that? 7 p.m. Yes, that's here, Christmas Eve. Be there, be square, so that's Saturday night. So your weekend is really covered. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, nice. Kath Tweedy also said, reminded me to keep praying for her grandson, so little Max, and we want to keep praying for Chris and David Max, little fella, Henry, as well. They're both going through operations. Also, at the end of the service, I want you to hang around for a little bit. Our treasurer, Neil's going to jump up and give us a bit of a latest update, so please hang around for that. And are there any other notices I've forgotten?
I've got a question.
Is it a notice?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, quick. Go, Heather. Go.
Jesus.
Jesus is the answer to your questions. That's very good. Nice. Yes.
There will be no Christmas carols on Thursday night.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so you'll have to sing down your street or in your bathroom. All right. I think I'm about it, Trev. All right, good job.
I love the drawings every week, David. Thank you for your efforts this year. They've been really, really good.
Actually, just one other thing. Yeah. Now, Trev, Trevor, you know, we have people coming and people going. And Trevor is not going to be doing anything different this week. So I just want to say thanks, mate.
Okay. The angel said, peace be with you, to Mary. The angels in their thousands on that Christmas night said, Hark the Heralds. So we can't not sit and sing this one. Let's stand and sing the Hark the Herald Angels Sing as the offering comes forward.
And remember with gratitude all the things that we have, and remember that God's gift to us is the opportunity for us to share with others. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Christmas time. We thank you for your commitment of love to us all. And in our gratitude, we give back to you not only our time, our talents, and our wealth, but our compassion and love for others. Receive these gifts in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Thanks, mate.
Good morning. As we come together on this special Sunday, just a week before Christmas Day, let's take a moment to thank God for his goodness and the privilege of being able to celebrate here at the Vines once more. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we know that while many welcome the Christmas season, there are those for whom it will always be a difficult time. Perhaps they've lost someone dear to them, or there's estrangement in the family. Maybe there's no home to celebrate Christmas in. And their loneliness increases as they see others going about their festive tasks and the shops full of decorations. We mourn the loss of the two young police officers who were killed in the Queensland ambush this week, as well as the neighbour who tried to help and suffered the same fate. Our thoughts and prayers are with their families at this very sad time. For those who might be struggling with illness, mental or physical, please give them your comfort and peace and walk with them through the trying times, Lord. Help us to be kind to those who are most in need. Let's just take a few moments to remember those closest to our hearts. We ask your blessing, Lord, on the year ahead, that wars may cease, love may grow, and compassion and unselfishness will rule. We hope and pray that 2023 might bring change to war-torn countries, and that all leaders will use their skills wisely and learn to respect each other with wisdom and patience. Lord, our unseasonal weather has brought extreme flooding to many areas, especially the Riverland. Once again, we are so grateful to those who keep working tirelessly to rebuild after such damage in these areas, sometimes doing without heating, power, etc., as blackouts become more frequent. Still, we're reminded of those in countries like the Ukraine who will be enduring a northern winter in continual situations such as these, lacking warmth and comfort. Bring them strength and courage, Lord, as they face each day. We pray for our church at the Vines during the festive season and into the year ahead, being mindful of the true meaning of Christmas so long ago. Bless our minister David and his family and all leaders and members of the worship team. Encourage and support all those who serve you in any way. Please join with me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from time of trouble, and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and glory, now and forever.
I've been asked to share some thoughts about Mary as a person. I'm going to share with you a devotion I did with my work colleagues. We all know that Mary was the mother of Jesus, but what do we think of her as a person? We first hear of Mary in Matthew 1, and we're told that she was pledged to be married to Joseph, but was found to be pregnant before the wedding. We know it was by the Holy Spirit, but how would Mary have felt? It just didn't happen 2,000 years ago. The shame on her and her family, the embarrassment, the sniggering behind her back. Spare a thought for Joseph too. How did it happen? Did she cheat on him? Imagine being confronted by an angel who tells you you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Great dream? Actually, I think it's more of a nightmare. We all know the story of Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem. It's about 150 kilometres from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Imagine doing that on a donkey. Imagine being 8 months pregnant and doing that. They reckon about 4 days on the donkey. No Maccas along the way for coffee. I'd like to know how she got on the donkey every day at 8 months pregnant. But what joy Mary must have felt when Jesus was born. A mother's love. She can finally cradle that baby that she's nurtured for 9 months. Mary supported Jesus in his faith and career. He would have learnt to use a hammer and other tools like his father. Luke 2, 41 to 50 is a mother's worst fear, losing a child in a shopping centre. Except Jesus stayed in the temple and did not travel with them. Oh, the fear, the frustration, when Jesus says, "Where else did you expect me to be?" Mary nurtured his faith and education. John 19, 25 reminds us that a mother is always watching out for her children. She was standing near the cross, watching all that was being done to her son. How must she have felt? There are many aspects of Mary's life that I can resonate with. What do other people think of me? As a mother, we support and encourage our children in their education and career choices, always wanting the best for them. We do the same in their faith journeys, but her story is so different to mine. Watching your child suffer in pain is never easy. As a mother, you want to take away that pain from them. Can I take their spot? But what pride we also have in our children. How Mary must have felt when Jesus spoke in the temple and knowing that God had a special plan for him. Mary was a woman of faith, respectful, humble, brave, a listener, a servant, a wife. She was obedient to God. We can all take aspects of Mary's life and story and apply it to our own. We can rest assured that God is with us, just as he was with Mary. In her time of questioning and worry, her time of joy and pride. She may not have been the main character the Christmas story portrays her to be, but God used her in a very important way, just as he uses all of us. He has a plan. I do have one question though. Why didn't Joseph book a hotel room?
Lord of my life, I love you. Good morning, everyone. A beautiful day it is. Our reading is from Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. The birth of Jesus the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah happened. His mother Mary was engaged to marry Joseph. But before they married, he learned that she was expecting a baby. She was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's husband Joseph was a good man. He did not want to cause her public disgrace, so he planned to divorce her secretly. But after Joseph thought about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to accept Mary as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. Give him that name because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to make clear the full meaning of what the Lord said through the prophet. "The virgin will be pregnant and will give birth to a son. They will name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord's angel told him to do. He married Mary. But Joseph did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
I hope you're well. How is your energy level the week before Christmas? Yeah, it's a bit tough, isn't it? There's lots of things happening. It seems pretty frantic, and it's like, what do I have to do? Where do I have to be? All right. Lord God, we thank you for the chance to gather here today. We ask that your Spirit would stir us to some new understanding or insight as we lead into this very special time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is week 6 of our Her Story series. It's our final week. And it's been really interesting. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope you have too, as we've endeavored to have different angles. And I certainly appreciate Angela's angle of what it means to be a mother. And certainly, only having recently had a baby into our wider family and seeing the mum being really pensive about everything the baby did or didn't do, yeah, I can begin to appreciate again about how that idea of Mary must have felt. So when we think about Mary, we probably think she was anywhere from 13 to 14 years old. In those days, that was a normal age to get married. And so that's pretty young. But I would imagine most of those children would have grown up pretty early anyway. But it's just, I guess everybody has a view of their life. And maybe Mary had a view for what her life might look like, you know? But in reality, what she imagined and what her life was were very, very different. Now we had, I think I'm going to have to get a bigger whiteboard. The kids are going to be helping me. But that journey of life that Jesus had, you know, Mary would have had no view of what that would have even looked like. I could just imagine how frantic she would have been with the baby being born and thinking, this is the Messiah? How am I ever going to look after the Messiah? Could you imagine the play restrictions she would have on the people that Jesus could play with? I don't know. Interesting, isn't it? Peer groups are very important. Would Mary have looked at the peer group Jesus was hanging around? Bit dodgy. You're supposed to be the Messiah. Don't forget you're supposed to be the Messiah. Messiahs pick up after themselves. I don't know. I'm just going down that road. It's an interesting thought. But we have, you know, the birth, which was a whole journey in itself. And here we've got some different slides, which really are a great rendition of the 6 aspects of life. The birth of Jesus, And then we have the baptism of Jesus. And then we have Jesus as the miracle maker. And the image of Jesus' healing was really a profound thing for those 3 years. His impact on the religious view of the world in his time was significant. Gathering disciples. And then we have the Last Supper, where as he gathered his disciples in, and 2,000 years later, we're continuing that tradition where Christ is present. And the crucifixion and the resurrection. Powerful images of the story of Jesus' life. That, yes, when we think of what Mary would have gone through, and Mary appears throughout different stages of Jesus' life. In fact, Mary was responsible for the first miracle at the wedding in Cana. Now, I'm not sure how pressured Mary felt, but she said to Jesus, "My son Jesus can sort something out for the wine," and does his first miracle. So Mary pops up throughout the scripture. And it's really interesting that she even has a key role through different stages. So at the cross, she's present. Even in the book of Acts, she's present there as they wait for the Holy Spirit to arrive. But one of the interesting quotes I came across in this next slide is, "Though Mary never traveled any farther than from Palestine to Egypt and then by donkey, her story still travels to the farthest corners of the earth." It's a very true comment, isn't it? Just think how widely known Mary is. Now, as Protestants, you know, we tend to exonerate Mary around Christmas time. But for Catholics and for many others, Mary is... here's some of the names that Mary is called. Catholic, Blessed Mother, Mother of God, Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, Cause of Our Joy, Mother of Mercy. There's probably lots of others. And these, I guess, are really wanting to affirm the significance of the role of Mary. And when you think of it, Mother of the Messiah had a key role in who Jesus was and how he was built. And while I find it ironic that the Catholic Church extols Mary so much, only men can be priests. There's a bit of an irony. But I guess in the United Church, while we don't extol Mary, we ordain women as priests. So it's, funny how that works, isn't it? One of the quotes that picked up with Mary from a Catholic theologian is, "Mary is the place where the single most important and miraculous and wonderful thing that ever happened, happened. And this all happened because, according to Luke, Mary said yes to God. The greatest thing that ever happened, happened in her and because of her." That's a big affirmation, isn't it? Mary, the role of Mary. She had a profound impact. And Mary lived in a time that was fraught with danger. Like, while it might not be like Russia and Ukraine, the Romans ruled that environment with harsh, strict penalties. You stepped out of line, you got crucified. So it was a tough place in which she had to bring herself up. And as a parent and as a person, I guess at times we all, our children make their own decisions and we're powerless. I wonder how powerless Mary felt at times, just listening to what Jesus said. In fact, Jesus had half-brothers as well. And then I think there's four brothers and some daughters that are mentioned in Scripture. And at one stage, when Jesus is preaching, the family comes along and tries to drag him off because of what he's saying. Maybe they're afraid that he's going to draw the wrath of the Romans upon them. And as parents, there's that great line where someone is healed and the leper is told to explain himself. And the parents say, "Well, look, this person is of age." And there comes a point in our lives where our kids are of age. Our influence is gone no more. But at times you sort of wonder what they must feel like. As I was thinking of parenting and our journey through life, sometimes it's very easy to just get ourselves immersed in the things that don't go well. Like Mary would never have imagined for her son to die on a cross, even though he was the Messiah. There's lots of different things. I might just skip. See, the interesting thing in life is, you know, for all of us, there is the temptation to feel sorry for ourselves or have pity. And I wonder if Mary had an experience of that as a parent. You know, when these things went wrong for Jesus, did she somehow blame herself? Did she somehow feel responsible? Yeah, parents always tend to feel responsible, don't they? And I like the quote on the left. The problem with pity parties is very few people come, and those who do don't bring presents. I like that quote. So, I guess as I'm trying to get my head into the space of Mary and consider what it might be like for her going through life, there are times like us that she would oscillate. And one of the sermons Trevor preached about a couple of months ago picked up this idea that you are enough, which is really a beautiful affirmation. And in the end, in that journey of life, we have to get to the point of where we accept that the affirmation is that we are enough. And that while we might aspire to be more, in the end, we are who we are for a reason. And as people of faith, that's what we believe, isn't it? And so I started out talking about the life of Jesus and wondering where Mary considered, you know, did she ever think, wow, this was going to happen? And I suppose when you think of your life, I mean, are there surprises in your life that you never saw coming? And I guess I would have to say the majority of us would say yes. As a 13, 14-year-old, I never expected to be standing here when I was almost 60. And for us, there's a lot of things I never expected to experience. But life takes us in different ways. And it's always interesting being older, looking back. Ralph came up to me today and said, David, do you realize it was 28 years ago that the first Christmas service was held here in this place? Wow, that's pretty impressive. Good documentations. Well done. 28 years ago. So it's the journey of life is full of fascinating twists and turns. I'm going to invite you to do some little reflection. There's a lot of questions I could ask you. But when you look back over your life, is there one thing that you still think, wow, that was a surprise? Good, bad, or other? You know, what is it? Was there a particular, you know, migrating from one place to another? Did that change the story of your life? What was it that most stands out for you? I'll give you 20 seconds to get thinking. Talk to those around you if you'd like, and I'll adjust my clock. One of the most important questions that we always have to remind ourselves is, what was it that helped me get to this point in my life? What does that say about me? And for people of faith, we would say that there is a relationship with God that somehow continues to give us traction in our lives. In the midst of all this distraction, God gives us traction, gives us the capacity to stick even in the hardest times, even in the uncertainties, even if we're not sure what the future may hold. Lord God, we thank you for your love that goes with us. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, we ask for your peace to be upon us, to give us the strength we need to face the future, just as Mary did with the uncertainty that she faced, yet with her strong conviction that you were present with her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Trevor.
So, the angel said to Mary, peace be with you. Then on that night that Jesus was born, the angel was proclaimed, the Messiah is born. And amongst all those celebrations, Mary pondered this into the heart, reflecting, resonating with the story that she was part of. And as we head into this week, this Christmas week, the call is, O come, all ye faithful. You know this, that carol that we all love, that we're going to sing in a minute. Who is the faithful? You are. O come with us, adore him. O come with us, adore him. Christ is Lord. Let's stand and sing this.
Okay, a quiz. What time is church Sunday morning, Christmas Day? 9 o'clock. Online? Good, well done. 9 o'clock. So, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with each one of us now and forevermore. Amen.